So when you think about holiday season, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
With the Christmas story or the season?
Both.
Well, the story, I think of, you know, baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph.
Oh, baby Jesus and?
Yeah. And Mary and Joseph.
Mary and Joseph. Yeah. That's right. So they played a very significant role.
Right.
Didn't they?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I just think of Jesus.
Yeah.
But you're right,
yeah.
Because it wasn't just Jesus.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It wasn't just Jesus. So there was Mary and Joseph, and they played a significant role in preserving the life of Jesus.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Just think about it for 1 second.
Because that's
they
true.
They were entrusted with taking care of the Son of God.
Right. Because he was defenseless at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you don't think of that. You think of Jesus, but you don't think of the fact that he wouldn't, you needed parents to take care of him, to constantly watch over him, take care of him.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I think about the fact of God as just a baby, and really having no protection, being completely dependent on Mary and Joseph, it reminds me, strangely enough, of a story about ducks.
Ducks?
Really?
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Bear with me. Okay, just hang on.
Tell us the story.
So, when I was little, I lived in Florida. And like many houses in Florida, the one that we moved into when I was a little kid had a little pond in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And our backyard...
With alligators.
Thankfully, no.
They all have.
Yeah. This is Florida.
Florida, I mean, yeah.
We had a little pond, and our house was facing it, and a lot of the homes in the neighborhood, their backyards were facing it too.
Okay.
And instead of alligators, what I loved that this pond had was ducks, because I was like 5 years old, and up until that point in my life, I had never seen a duck. So I thought that these ducks were really amazing, which, looking back, is really weird because, you know, there's really nothing, you can't play with a duck. You know, there's nothing you can really do, but I just...
But it's not an alligator.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a plus.
Well.
They've got that going
You
for
can them. Chase them.
Right. So what I just like to do is just hang out in my backyard and just, you know, feed the ducks and sit there and watch them. I was like, my 5-year-old self very much had the soul of like an 80-year-old man. I just enjoyed just hanging back there with the ducks. I became very enamored with them. And so one day my cousin was over. She was older. She was like maybe 11 or 12. I was like 5 or 6. She was over, and my best friend Pablo was over. And we were just playing in the backyard, having a good time. And we noticed, actually my cousin noticed, that on the other side of the pond, there were these kids just kind of causing a ruckus. They were just being really loud and noisy. They were kind of kicking at stuff, rustling through the bushes, you know, and my cousin was like, hey, what are those guys up to, you know? And again, I was a very mild-mannered 5-year-old, so I was like, you know, it's really none of our business, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, I think one looks
stay
like
away.
He might have a tattoo, let's just stay over here and mind our own business. And so they keep kind of their hooting and hollering, and eventually they slowly start making their way around the pond to the point where they eventually come right into our backyard. Mm-hmm. And so then we start to take notice. I mean, they're in our space now. They're in our backyard. And one of them sees a duck and just runs right up to it and just kicks at it. Thankfully, it kind of like, you know, flew away before you could do any damage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, suddenly, at that point, I wasn't so mild-mannered. So I was like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And we started yelling at them and having this back and forth. And it's at that point that we noticed that inside their buckets that they had with them were a bunch of, like, baby duck eggs filled inside there. And so then we got even more, you know, energized. And we're like, wait a minute, what are you guys doing with those eggs? And they're like, well, we're going to take these eggs and we're going to smash them all against the wall. At that point, we got very upset, so we start screaming back and forth. But really, screaming is all I had in my arsenal, you know, because there were a lot of them. They had strength in numbers, and they had strength in just strength, because they were bigger.
And you're just a kid.
Yeah, exactly. So we're there yelling at each other, like, you put those ducks away. Mm-hmm. What are you, don't hurt those baby ducks. And then in the middle of all this yelling, one of their mom calls out and says that it's time to go in and eat. So they all head back to their house, but we notice that when they go back in, they leave all of the buckets full of baby duck eggs outside of the back door.
Mm-hmm. And spied on them.
So I get the troops together. I rally the troops and I say, all right, guys, this aggression against these ducks cannot stand. We've got to infiltrate in there.
You are very eloquent. Yeah.
These aren't the words I used. I was only five. But basically, we got to do a rescue mission. So we go in there and we kind of stealth style sneak our way over to their house, kind of from bush to bush, making sure we're not seen. Until we reach the buckets right outside the door, we each grab one and we hightail it out of there. And as we're heading back, we're trying to find homes for these little baby ducklings. We're like trying to find nests for them and stuff. And really, we don't know which egg belongs to which duck. So we're just kind of giving it to whoever we can. But we're scared because we think they're going to find us. They're going to find us. So we really end up just running back to my backyard where we're at. And we just find places for them there within the safety of our backyard. And it was a little tricky because these ducks had just been kicked around and they had their eggs taken from them. So when they see someone standing there with an egg, they get very agitated and they start kind of biting at you and stuff. Mm. But we're like just trying to help them. And eventually we place all the eggs in a different nest with a different mom. And we figure, okay, we've done our job. Now let's play inside the rest of the day in case these guys notice what we did. And so we spend the rest of the day playing inside. Mm. And then what was interesting is as time went on, in the mornings, my dad would get very agitated during breakfast because he'd look out the window, and as time went on more and more, he would just start to say, like, why are there so many ducks in our backyard? Like, what is happening? Every day there's more and more ducks. There's these little baby ducks everywhere. There's this huge pond, and like 95% of them are just in our backyard. And I wasn't really brave enough to take credit for that, so I was just eating my cereal. Oh, who can know the mind of a duck? Who knows? And so really from that point on until we moved out, our house was our backyard area. Always had like 95% of all of the ducks in the pond would always hang out there. And it's just something I think about when you think that the Son of God was every bit as defenseless as those little unborn baby ducklings were. Yeah. Was in every bit as much danger and needed every bit as much protection as those little baby ducks. It's something that just gives a perspective to me. Just thinking of the Son of God is so fragile and how important it is that Mary and Joseph needed to protect what this super valuable prize that they had. And maybe even now, it's the gospel is something that we're charged with protecting and ensuring it keeps safe and people know it.
It's amazing.
Welcome to Cross Connection's special series, which are called Season's Greetings.
Yep.
And I'm so excited because this is our second episode and we will dive into this magnificent story of Jesus' birth. And I'm actually glad that we have this season once a year when people can actually think about Jesus' birth more.
Yeah.
And I hope that we don't think about moles more than about the story of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And if you're here, that means that you just decided to not to go anywhere, not to buy anything, but actually talk about what
you're buying and you're watching on your phone, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. No. We don't do that. Okay. So, and I really enjoyed Sergio's story about those ducklings or ducks. Yeah.
Wow.
And let me ask first question to Sergio. Do you still love ducks?
Yeah. You know, I need to move to a place with a pond again. You know?
Oh yeah.
Those good old days.
Or maybe you should start a farm. You should start a farm.
Yeah. One day I won't show up here anymore. You'll know where I am. Yeah,
and if
on
you,
my duck farm.
If you protect their eggs, they will multiply like crazy.
Right. I figured it out. Yeah.
Okay, but let me ask you another question. And this question is about anything that is precious to you in your lives.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that is most precious for you in your life today?
Mm.
What is it? Just be open because it's Christmas season. We are all open people.
I'll jump in. Just thinking when
besides
you describe
ducks.
No, because when you just I think about those ducks because if you describe when you describe precious, it's different than something I may spend a lot of my time with.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go home, I spend time watching TV. A certain portion of my time every day, I'm usually watching a certain amount of TV.
So then,
if I were to go home though and find my TV destroyed, it probably wouldn't bother me that much.
Okay.
So, but things that if I were to lose would just wreck me. You know, it's my family, my girlfriend, you know, my job, you know, things like that. And maybe things that you don't who knows how much time you spend to it, but the things that are just most precious to you, obviously, then, you know, your relationship with God being the number one.
But all those that you just mentioned, you said my family, mm-hmm. so you because you love your family.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend, because...
And moreover, I couldn't really function... I couldn't be myself without them. I wouldn't, yeah.
So you because you love your girlfriend, yeah. because you love your family, and what about the job? Just because you love the job, or just because...
I do love my job.
You do love your job. Excellent. Yeah. No, this is excellent. Yeah. This is crucial. Yeah. Because right. it cannot be precious. Precious, it doesn't necessarily mean that gives you money.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
Precious is because you love it. You love it.
It gives something valuable to you besides just money. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Sergio comes to work a little bit earlier and leaves a little bit later.
yeah.
Because
yeah.
you love it.
Just love it so right. much.
Jennifer, what is precious in your life? And
yeah, I think my list is the same. You know, it's, you know, if everything else fell apart, what would still mean the most yeah. to you? And mm-hmm. it's always your family and the relationships that you have in your life. So mm. I think I'm with Serge on that. Mm-hmm.
I loved what you just said. If anything and everything uh-huh. falls apart, I want this part
yeah.
to
yeah.
be still together in union. Mm-hmm. Jitesh, what is precious in your life?
Well, first off, my fiance.
Oh, wow.
and
I hope she's watching this
yes.
now.
She is, as always.
That's why you said first. Yeah.
My fiance, my family, mm-hmm. and then my second family, which is my fiance's family. All of them watch and support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not, it's the point of, you know, they can't be replaced. These yeah. people love you and they support you no matter what you do. They just love you unconditionally. And you don't understand that until you start going through things in life where yeah. you make decisions and they still love you regardless of the
oh,
fact.
Wow.
You know,
this
and this can never be replaced.
No matter what you have,
no matter where you go, this can never be replaced.
No matter where you go, no matter what you've done, mm-hmm. they still love you.
They still yeah. love
this
you.
Is simply yeah. amazing. Yeah. And I also need to share something, even though you don't ask her.
Tell us,
Oleg.
So Oleg, what's
precious
to you?
What's precious to you?
Yeah. Actually, I love my wife. She's a great inspiration. Yeah. And I loved her for many, many years. And I have to admit, I loved her since I was 19 years old.
Yes.
And I since that time, I still my love to her just grows bigger.
Amen.
Yeah,
and,
awesome.
And I love Jesus tremendously.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And we will see today
yeah.
how you cannot survive without yeah. loving
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're about to study the number one on all of our lists.
Absolutely.
Number one is to come. But I would like to encourage you as well today, if you watch this program and somebody is sitting right next to you, just hug that person and say, you know what? You're so precious to me. I love you. Yeah. So do it. And if you don't do it,
yeah, we'll find them. We'll find them. Yeah.
Please do it. So let us start our study today. And this is amazing because this is a perfect time to dive deeper into the story of Joseph and Mary and mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm, yeah. And let us talk about this birth narratives, as we call them, or the birth stories. Mm-hmm. The stories of the birth of Jesus, or we call it nativity story. Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if we miss that story, we missed a lot. We missed the entire season.
Right. We missed everything.
yeah. yeah. Okay. So, and I would like us to, first of all, we all know this story. But what we most of the time know, we know the harmonization or harmonized story.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
the story is recorded only in two Gospels. Mm-hmm. Only in the Gospel according to Matthew, mm-hmm. and you can help me now. And the second Gospel is the Gospel according to
Luke.
Yes. And if you said John, you're wrong. it's only in the Gospel according to Matthew and the Gospel according to Luke. Mm-hmm. And if you read those stories side by side, mm-hmm. or not side by side, but on themselves, mm-hmm. without knowing the second story, you would think that this is a story about one person,
mm-hmm.
and this is a story about another person.
Right.
Because they're different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is just two details that are the same.
Really?
Just two details that are the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah.
It is wow.
I can't wait to find out.
Besides names, of course. Names right. are
sure.
the same
sure.
as well.
Sure. Yeah.
And those two, first of all, virgin birth mm-hmm. in both stories. So if in both stories virgin birth is mentioned, that it is significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And second, the phrase that Angel Gabriel mm-hmm. says to both Joseph and Mary, he says, and let's read what he says.
Oh, let's find it.
Okay, it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And Jitesh, if you could open Matthew chapter 1, verse 20.
Okay.
So Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And Sergio, if you could read it for us.
But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.
Okay, and Jitesh, if you could read Matthew 1:20.
But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, So what are those three words that are the same? Right. What is
not,
it?
Do not be afraid.
Wow.
Which I will point out is four words, but yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I said
close.
Don't.
Close.
Don't
close.
Be afraid. It's just, it's sure. A young adult show, yeah. So don't be afraid. Yeah, okay. Okay, four words. Do not be afraid. Thanks right. for pointing it out. Do not be afraid. So it is significant.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
First, when an angel of the Lord appeared to both Joseph and Mary, he says, do not be afraid.
Right. Yeah.
And second, virgin birth. So let's talk about do not be afraid. How often in our lives are we afraid?
Very often.
It's easy to be afraid. And I mean, I guess we're going to go back to here when he talks to them about do not be afraid. But do not be afraid doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. That's
okay.
The thing. It's like, do not be afraid. And then all of the babies were under attack. And they had to flee. And all these terrible things happened. So it's like, even with all of this stuff that's happening in the background, still do not be afraid.
But what is the first message that why Joseph needed to hear those words, do not be afraid? What was he afraid of?
Well, I think your virgin wife being pregnant, you know, from a child that isn't yours, I mean, instantly that's going to cause some issues in your own head, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
But to me, like, being afraid, you can be, you know, fearful of things like when you're a kid and you're afraid of the dark or things like that. But this kind of afraid goes beyond that. It's in all levels of Joseph's life. So you can say one thing about the baby being born that's not his.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say that he was afraid of what the people will think. Or he was afraid of, can he be a father to something that is of God? Is he good enough to do anything for
you? Or do you mean just an angel appearing to you?
And then, yeah, an angel appearing to
you. Right.
Might freak you out.
Wow. Exactly. That's really interesting, because I never thought that he could have been afraid on so many levels.
Yeah.
But let's see what Mary, what was Mary afraid of? And it's Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Mm-hmm. And the entire passage talks about it. When an angel appears to Mary, what was her immediate reaction? She, in verse 29, and Sergio, if you could read for us verse 29.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
Yeah, so she was troubled with his words. She was also like, before we can read about, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women.
Yeah.
Like, all those, like,
right.
Am I blessed among all women? I'm only maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. I don't know, because she was probably very young at that age. So I'm a lowly lady who doesn't even have enough money to bring a good sacrifice to God. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Am I going to be blessed?
Yeah. And she was thinking similar things that I'm sure Joseph was thinking, was how can I be a mother? You know, and first of all, I'm carrying a baby that, you know, that you have sent by God. I mean, anyone would be afraid in that situation.
Even just seeing an angel.
Yes.
I mean, someone would probably just pass out and hit the floor.
Yeah.
You know, you've never had any kind of encounter like that. Then all of a sudden, this like amazingly brilliant angel shows up and it's like, by the way, I have some news. You're the most favorite person on the planet.
Wow. And we need to take a break now. And Jitesh, just bear in mind what you wanted to say.
Okay.
So unfortunately, we need to take this break. But we will be back after this short break and we will continue our discussion about God's decision to entrust his holy son. To be nurtured by Mary and Joseph. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Welcome back to Cross Connection Special Edition. And I'm excited because we are discussing the most exciting story in the entire Bible, perhaps. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Just, it's not the very... yes and no.
It is the most exciting story.
It is the most exciting story because it's been very popularized.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's not probably the most important story in the scripture because as we talked about our previous episodes of Cross Connection, there is one more story that is that enormous time, enormous place in the Gospels is devoted to. It's... You can help me.
So definitely what he came here to do in the first place.
Exactly. He came for.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is also important to take a look at why and what and how he came in.
Yes.
Okay, so Jitesh, you had a comment before and we just jumped, we unfortunately jumped to the break. Yes. Yes.
Well, what I was going to say was that we were talking about Mary and Joseph, specifically Mary, how she was afraid when the angel came to her. Mm-hmm. And what I feel when I think about that is, if Mary, because Mary was humbled and she felt that she was not good enough, is the reason she was afraid. If she, as if she was, you know, one of the scribes or somebody who feels that they're very close to Jesus, it's like, oh, an angel has come. Yeah. Naturally, an angel would come to me because I'm so great and I'm so well grounded. Of course I would be picked. But these two are afraid because they feel unworthy. They are humble. Wow. They know.
That's
they
a
feel
really
like
good point.
This is great because we will jump to it right now. But I would like,
I was just going to say, he said, blessed are you amongst women.
Yeah.
And she's not even a woman yet.
Yeah.
So all the more reason to be, I'm not ready for this.
And then later on, it's just simply amazing what the angel actually says in verse 33 about the son that will be given to her. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel in verse 34, how can this be, since I do not even know a man? So it's like he will be such an amazing person. He will be the king of the kings.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about Mary more, just a little bit more.
Right.
Because it's a beautiful character and that we meet right in the first pages of the Gospel according to Luke. And I would like to encourage all of you to read, if you just set some time and read Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and also read Luke chapter 1 and 2, read the entire Gospel. But especially during this season, please do it because we can miss the entire purpose of the season.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we talk, there are two nativity stories. But we also talked about this main crucial point that are the same. First is do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And second point is a virgin birth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In both cases, it was a virgin birth. For today's person, just as for any other person throughout the history, it's insane even to think about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Why do Christians subscribe to this notion?
You know, I actually was having a conversation with someone this weekend about this, about the ludicrous notion of the virgin birth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basically saying, well, if let's say just for the sake of argument, if you don't believe that Jesus was God, well, if you're going to accept that Jesus was the Son of God and he actually became a man, then he's not going to just pop into thin air or something like that. He has to become man through the way that any one of us became a human being.
Well, otherwise he would not be a man.
Yeah, otherwise
but
he would not be a
he
man.
Didn't have to, I think God could have chosen any method that he wanted to bring Jesus here.
Oh, sure.
But he decided to use a human
being. I think I think that there's meaning in that. It's in that, of course, God can do anything.
Sure.
But Jesus was made into a man through the way that anyone else is. And also the fact that it's a virgin birth, like you were highlighting, I don't know if I'm getting off track, but you and I have talked before how a lot of scholars point out that John is the only gospel where Jesus directly states that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so some take that to mean that, well, maybe he didn't really think he was God or something like that. Here we have from the very beginning of Matthew and Luke that he is God. Why? Because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and into a virgin.
Yes.
Basically saying this, the only thing that he could be is God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we need to point out to this verse, actually, because it's very important what you just highlighted. Even though people think, okay, Jesus didn't think that he was the Son of God or he was not the Son of God, let's see what the Bible says in the very first, the same chapter, in verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And Jitesh, if you could read it for us, please.
And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
So the
That's
power
powerful.
Of yeah. the Most High
yeah.
wow.
will overshadow you. So
right.
you will be
yeah.
empowered by the most, the power of the Most High.
Yeah. Wow.
What does it tell us mm-hmm. about how God actually acts on earth?
Yeah, I think he works through people, you know. Yeah. He decided, I mean, he could have just let Jesus come the same way he created Adam and Eve. He didn't have to use Mary. Mm. But he decided to partner with this person to bring about his will. And I think, you know, he wants to partner with us in the same way today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also shows a lot of how God trusts and loves the ones that he has created. It's, mm-hmm. you know, to kings even have so many people under them. And if they give it to the lowest of the low, they don't trust them. You know, oh, you probably will steal from me and things of that nature. But God chose the lowest of the low, and yet he trusts and he's showing how much he loves you and how much he trusts you mm-hmm. by giving you the most important thing in his whole life. Yeah. And he's Beautiful. Giving it to you. And
Beautiful.
I think it's something we're going to touch on a little bit more in a, mm-hmm. in a future program. But the fact that God became so totally and completely one of us, mm-hmm. that even the, as Jennifer said, he could have appeared in mm-hmm. some other way. Mm-hmm. The fact that he went through the whole gestation period.
Yeah.
The fact that he was in the womb for 9 months, mm-hmm. that he went through the birth process, that I mean, he was so totally yeah. and fully one of us.
And he was extremely vulnerable at that time. He chose
Absolutely.
To be just like us in every sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is why he was even tempted, just mm-hmm. like we are yeah. tempted. Mm-hmm. He experienced everything that we experienced. And yeah. this is a great hope. God, mm-hmm. the one who is greatest,
yeah.
he is the only one who yeah. is right. the one God. And he decided to become this little dot
yeah.
under heart of human being.
It's why I thought of that duck story before. The yeah. fact that even before, we always think of God as a baby that was so defenseless, but he was even from the very beginning, even the point of not being born, he was a zygote, like you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, through the whole God as a zygote, it's like, yeah. it's unthinkable.
It comes also to the point of in Genesis where every time he created things, he said, it is good. Same when he created humans, he said, it is good. And by him coming down and going through all these phases, he's showing how proud he is of what he created.
Exactly. Because
from the beginning, he was yeah. proud.
Because he created human beings in his
own
image.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In his image. Mm-hmm. And that's why he loves his image so much that he decided to send his own son to be a part of this entire story. So,
right.
Okay, we need to continue. Unfortunately, right. it's like, if only we had 10 hours.
Right.
Our viewers probably would fall asleep, but
it's probably for the best we
don't
sure,
have 10 yeah,
hours.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mary's reaction to God's word presented by Gabriel is very important as well. And her reaction is recorded actually in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and all, and further. Mm-hmm. But I would like us to read just first two verses. Verses 46 and 47. And Jennifer, if you could read for us Luke 1, 46 and 47.
And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.
And read 48 as well, yeah.
For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed.
Wow.
For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name.
And continue. We need to finish this.
And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
Wow. This is beautiful. And if you feel lowly, I would like to encourage you to just read this passage of Mary. It's actually mm-hmm. called in many churches, it's called Magnificat, which means magnificent are you, God. Mm-hmm. Holy are you, God, who decided to lift up
right.
those who are lowly.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we need to take this short break. But after this short break, we will continue talking about another character who influenced, who took a very important part in Jesus's birth narrative. It's Joseph. So don't go anywhere. You will be amazed to see what we have to discover.
Mm-hmm. There is a garden in every childhood, an enchanted place where colors are brighter, the air softer, and the morning more fragrant than ever.
Of all life seasons, childhood is the most beautiful.
Children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see.
Blessed indeed is the man who hears many gentle voices call him Father.
A child can ask a thousand questions that the wisest man cannot answer.
When I approach a child, I have two thoughts: affection for what he is today and respect for what he can become.
There are no seven wonders of the world in the eyes of a child. There are 7 million.
Children are one third of our population and all of our future.
He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
Welcome back to Cross Connection Special Edition. The Word of God sets our hearts on fire.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And if you feel the same, you actually got a chance to share your comments with us on Facebook, even though we are not quite live. We are alive, but not very live. But you can still do it. You can still go on our Facebook page and share your comments about the story that we are discussing right now.
Yep.
And Sergio will check it, and I will check it as well. We'll check it. So before we jump into this, discussing another character, which is Joseph. Who is Joseph? Jennifer had something to add about Mary, and what was it?
I'm ready. I mean, I'm not ready to walk away from Mary yet because,
please,
you know, she is very humble and she regards herself as lowly, right?
Mm. Yes.
And we also say, well, you know, the Lord uses a lowly person for this great task, but maybe Mary wasn't so lowly. Maybe the people who thought they were the greatest during her time were, in God's perception, the lowly people. And so I think sometimes our perception of who's lowly or who's important and who's not is sometimes skewed by the wrong values.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because in our world, I think that person is great because he's featured on ABC sitcom or anything of that nature. Or that person is great because he's got the best job and he works in Wall Street,
sure.
Wall Street, New York, or anywhere else.
Yeah, but no, what Jennifer's saying is you see hints of the message, the gospel Jesus is going to preach later on, which is that the first shall be last.
Yeah. Exactly.
Last shall be first.
Yeah.
And the greatest among you will be a servant. And
King
we see
Herod
Mary as the
would have
as
been thought of. Yeah, King Herod would have been thought of as like, you know, great. And if he said, Lord, you know, bless it, you blessed me, I'm so lowly, would have been like, oh, he's just being humble.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Mary says it, everyone's like, yeah, you are really lowly. You know, you really got
excellent. This is excellent because this is how God works.
Right.
God is works from external forces, so to speak.
Sure.
But through through us inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's something that unless we have something inside, unless we are inside lowly and not just lowly for the sake of being lowly,
but humble.
Humble.
Yeah.
Then he would like to use us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's really cool. You have a story where you have a king is attacking this poor young girl, and who does God align himself with? Whose side is he on?
Sure.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, we need to go to Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph is the most underestimated character in the entire Bible.
Wow, bold
Love
statement.
Yeah,
okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Because there are only, there are just two chapters that talk about Joseph. And Joseph is mentioned once in the book of John as well, in the Gospel of John. Mm. But it's just mentioned once in one verse. all other verses, there is nothing about Joseph anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is interesting because Adventist Review magazine, and I'm not just promoting it, just because I just happened to go over it. Right. Adventist Review magazine, they actually had a very interesting poll taken. It was November 8th.
A poll like a survey?
Yeah, a survey. So it was a poll. Poll was conducted, and about 300 people responded mm-hmm. to this poll, and all of them were Christians. Mm-hmm. And the question that was asked, who is your favorite Bible character? Who is your favorite Bible character? Mm-hmm. And if you look at this survey, mm-hmm. you will see who is your favorite Bible character.
Looks like Joseph. Got it.
Oh, yeah. Joseph got it. You see, there is actually Mary, mother of Jesus, right here.
She's very tiny.
Yeah, she's very tiny. Mary, yeah. But this is Joseph.
The father of Jesus, or is it Joseph with the coat of many colors?
That's right. You got it right.
Okay.
So it's not quite the same Joseph that we are talking about.
Right.
It's another Joseph from the Old Testament.
Okay.
So another Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah. But the Joseph that we will be talking about in a few minutes, I would like to challenge all men. Mm-hmm. To be like Joseph, this Joseph.
Yes.
As well.
All right.
Even though it's underestimated character, but let's just become like this Joseph.
Okay.
Like this Joseph. And first of all, when we read, we need to go to the Gospel according to Matthew. Uh-huh. Because this is what I forgot to mention. In Matthew, in the Gospel according to Matthew, and also in the Gospel according to Luke, you will see that those two stories, they are... told, it seems like, by different characters. In Luke, it's mainly Mary, mm-hmm. because it's all about Mary. It's what Mary feels, what Mary mm-hmm. sings, what Mary talks. Mm-hmm. But in the Gospel, according to Matthew, it's mm-hmm. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Because here, Angel Gabriel appears to Joseph. Mm-hmm. Here, Joseph was entrusted to do all these things. So it's mm-hmm. Joseph, always
right,
Joseph.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, when we read this story in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 all the way to verse 25 and onwards, you will see that the first time when an angel appeared to Joseph, he said, do not be afraid, mm-hmm. and do what? We just read it.
Mary.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Mary.
Yeah. Take to you Mary, your wife, and because the one who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is one. But this is not the end of the story. Because something else happens right after mm-hmm. the Magi come to mm-hmm. to them and right. present those presents, give those presents. Immediately in verse 13, we read something else. And Jitesh, if you could read for us verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13.
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
Okay, so you see there's another time when an angel appears to him. Mm-hmm. Let's read verse 19. And Sergio, if you could read for us verse 19.
After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.
Okay, so this is third time. And this is not the end. Mm-hmm. So they are on the way back. And let's read verse 22.
Okay.
And Jennifer, if you could read for us verse 22.
But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. Mm.
So now, think about this character, mm-hmm. Joseph, poor Joseph. Mm-hmm. First, in a dream, take to you Mary.
Right.
Second, flee to Egypt. Mm. Third, come back from Egypt. Fourth, not to that place that you wanted to come back, but to another place.
Sure.
What does it tell us about Joseph?
Hey, we're seeing two pictures right now being painted. You have Mary as the kind of being the one entrusted to carry and nurture and bring up Jesus, and Joseph is the protector of Jesus, who is entrusted with him, and he's protecting. He's following God's lead too, because mm-hmm. all the time he's having an angel appear in a dream, and mm-hmm. he's obeying God immediately and protecting Jesus.
Great. Yeah.
I think the biggest point of Joseph is that. From Mary has the child, and the child is in her, so she has the child of the Holy Spirit in her, and she's going to give birth. she didn't have a choice whether it was going to happen or not because she was already had the baby in her. But Joseph is different because he had a choice. He could choose whether he wanted to listen or whether he wanted to just abandon. He said, well, Mary's already pregnant, you know.
She can I don't want any part of this.
She can take care of herself.
I just think Mary had a choice. I'm sorry. I don't think God would have done that to her against her will, even though the way the story is told, the chronology is a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I guess I would push back against that idea a little bit. And then the other piece of it is, I think they were just both obedient to God in their own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joseph was a man who trusted God. He had courage and he obeyed God. Mary was a woman who trusted God. She obeyed God. She had courage and she listened to God. And because of that, God could entrust them with God, you know, with their with his son. And I guess the last thing I want to say about Joseph is that, I mean, the thing that really sticks out in his story to me is that this small act of obedience has this ripple effect, because Joseph, you know, you're right, he doesn't get a lot of play in the Bible, but the ripple effect is enormous.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is simply beautiful.
Yeah.
And right after this short break, we will find out what was the motivation behind actions of Joseph and Mary. Sure. Why did they do it? Mm-hmm. Why were they obedient, and why they decided to cherish this child of God? Okay, don't go anywhere, because after the break, we will continue our vibrant discussion.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
Welcome to Cross Connection Season's Greetings. And I'm just amazed because Joseph's character is just, Joseph is mentioned just once in the beginning of the Gospels. Uh-huh. But the triple effect, as you just said, it's just amazing what are the outcomes of those, of his obedience to God were. Mm,
yeah.
So what was the motivation behind Joseph's and Mary's obedience? How can I be just as motivated today? Help me.
They're portrayed as faithful, you know, both of them. Okay. As that's key, particularly Mary, qualities of their personality, that they're faithful, that an angel comes to them and says, don't be afraid, and guess what? They weren't afraid, at least insofar as they were willing to hear him out and actually do what they had to say.
They might be afraid, like human beings. Of
course
we are afraid, because
they're not paralyzed by it.
The king, Herod the king, is trying to kill our son.
Yeah.
So of course we are afraid and we will just be hiding from one place to another. But we will rejoice in the Lord anyway.
Amen.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good. And I would like to encourage you as well to just stop being afraid of these earthly circumstances. Just rejoice in the Lord.
Mm.
Just let's just experience this and be obedient to him. Because just as Angel Gabriel appeared to him, now we have something as well. It's the Bible. When we read the Bible, when we read the scripture, when we talk to God, we just lose our fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fears. Yeah. Okay, there is another something very significant, because Jesus, the Son of God, was entrusted to be taken care of by human beings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is simply incomprehensible.
Yeah.
At least when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about something that I treasure the most, cherish the most. Mm-hmm. Would I give it to Sergio to take care of that thing
not? If you're smart.
No. No?
Or for instance, if I love my little thing, whatever it is, whatever it is, it's just my tiny thing, and I love it so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I would give it to anyone and like for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But here God says, no, I will entrust God, basically. Mm-hmm. to you, human beings.
Right.
Take care of this.
You see so much of God's love and so much of His, of Jesus from the very beginning wanting to be one of us. I mean, Jesus's ministry didn't start, at least what we see in the Gospels, till what, like 30?
Yes.
Something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And so why didn't He just appear in the form of a 30-year-old man once He was ready to start His mission? Think about that, 30 years
yes.
of being yeah. one of us. 30 years plus 9 months in the womb
yeah.
of being one of us, of being around us, growing up with us, wow. coming to love us. It says a lot, and it's something that we shouldn't overlook.
Exactly, and this is amazing because it means that God never gives up mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. on human beings.
Yeah. Right.
He loves us and He trusts us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if anyone else doesn't trust me, yeah. I know that there is one God who trusts me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to let Him down. And I will not, because I know that I'm His son forever.
And that's an important thing for people at home who are watching, for anyone that's watching this show to know that God is proud of you. God showed how much He loves you and how proud. So you may feel that you're not good enough. You may feel that you're not significant enough. Mm-hmm. But God has created you in His image and has come and spent time as one of you mm-hmm. to show you that. So everyone must feel proud and want to get to know someone who has sacrificed so much for them.
Yeah.
So. Amen.
Now, this is simply amazing. Because if you read the very last verse of the Gospel according to Matthew, you'll find out something incredible. And let's go there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Let's read two last verses. Verses 18 through 20. And Sergio, if you could read it for us.
Yeah. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Wow. Amen.
The very last phrase is the most crucial.
Yeah.
Right.
Because He is what?
With you always.
Always.
Yeah. Right.
First He says, all authority has been given to me. Mm-hmm. So all authority has been given to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that God, to Him, to Jesus, and that Jesus who all authority has been given on earth and in heaven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where is He now? Where is
Where's
He now?
Jesus now?
Yeah.
In heaven.
He says here, I am with you always.
With you, always.
He's here.
Always. So all authority that He's been given, mm-hmm. He says, I am always with you, so you don't have to be worried about anything. You cannot afford being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I am with you, because all authority has been given to me.
Yeah.
All authority is with you as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm with you.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you, your reaction?
I think of, do you guys ever watch Star Wars? You know, when he's like, the Force will be with you always. You know, that's what I think this
and is. And that was a quote
right.
from yeah. the guy.
It's quoting this.
Matthew.
That's what this is. It's quoting this. So that's what God is. We saw Him. He came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was with us. And He's still with us.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
This is simply amazing.
Yeah.
This is simply amazing. We have about 4 minutes left, and I would like us to talk about what we learned today.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start with Jitesh.
Okay.
What did you learn today?
I mean, there's many things that I learned today, but one most important thing that I learned is that you may feel low, you may feel not good enough to be used by God, but we have proof here that God used the lowest of the low, and that those people surrendered totally to what God had them to, you know, wanted them to do with their lives. So I feel like in our lives, we need to look around and because God is in the habit of using mm-hmm. humans
mm-hmm.
to do His work.
Amen.
So if we are not aware of our surroundings, we're looking for some great thing to happen, like an angel, or looking for something to happen in church. But why aren't we looking at the people who are right next to us, or to the people who are we are with every day,
mm-hmm.
and see what they're doing? God may be speaking to us. God may be talking to us and wanting us to help.
This is beautiful.
We're not opening our eyes to that because we may feel too high, or maybe we may feel too low.
This is great because that reminds me of another quote that was told actually by Heschel. He was Rabbi Heschel. He said, pray with your feet. In other words, do not just pray. Do not just act.
Mm-hmm.
Act. And this, or just like Mother Teresa said, preach the gospel everywhere, wherever, and whenever you can. And only if it's needed, use words.
Right.
So this is what God's work on earth is about. We are entrusted with this greatest gift of all, Jesus. We are working, and he's working through us. Jennifer, what did you learn today?
This was a really powerful study and just got so much out of it. One of the things that really sticks out is, you know, Joseph and Mary, and how whenever someone thinks about, you know, sort of really important and powerful people in the Bible, maybe they'll think about the disciples, or maybe they'll think about Moses since he wrote the Bible. But, you know, you just don't immediately think, you know, Joseph. But if Joseph hadn't obeyed God, and if Mary hadn't obeyed God, you know, where would we be? And so it's not the person who's always in front, you know, the person that everyone perceives to be the most important, but it's just anyone who is willing to allow God to use them. And they had this amazing responsibility. And, you know, I'm so grateful that they were willing to say yes to God.
Yeah. Wow. I want to be like Joseph.
Yes.
No, and I feel like what you're saying right now, we just tied it, what was given to Mary, what was given to Joseph, and we see the Great Commission, which we just read, that Jesus was, his very life, whether or not he would even survive, was given to them. And he says, now go out. You have me. I'm with you right now. Jesus is with you right now. Just like he was in Mary, he's in you now. And we need to all be like how she was, how Joseph was. Protect it, nurture him, share him. But, you know, he's going to be attacked, but we need to make sure to cherish and protect him.
Yeah. You know, it brings me great joy because during this Christmas season, I will not just see Jesus in one of those, how is it called? Remind me of
those nativity
scenes.
Nativity scenes. No, I can say, you know what, Jesus, I know that you're with me. You're not just there. No, you are with me now, and you have all authority, you have all power, and now you are the strongest one. You are right next to me. This is simply amazing.
Amen.
During this Christmas season, take some time and just share this greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ himself. And if you do it, you'll see that the world around you will be transformed in a second, in a matter of seconds.
Amen.
And start from your houses, homes, families. And Jitesh and Jennifer and Sergio, let's do it as well.
This is a
challenge for me as well. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jitesh. And thanks, Sergio. And I'm so glad that everybody was able to join us. Thank you very much. I will be back after a very short break with today's conclusion. So don't go anywhere.
I know I'm looking for something. But what? Peace, purpose, meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
In Jewish and Christian thought, the true God is the one in whose image humans are made in the first place. As Augustine said, God made us for himself. When he takes the initiative, it is always a matter of love, love which will care for us and take us up into saving purposes. Mary and Joseph are, to that extent, the supreme examples of what always happens when God is at work by grace through human beings. God's power from outside and the indwelling spirit within, together, result in things being done which would have been unthinkable any other way. Now, let me suggest that the main point of the story of the birth of Jesus is to convey through these chapters that God uses regular people and does amazing things with their help. It is crucially important for us to understand that we actually can be a part of God's plan on earth today. In the very last two verses of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Just as Joseph and Mary were cherishing little vulnerable baby Jesus, we are responsible for cherishing and carrying forward the name of Jesus, to whom all authority has been given on earth and in heaven, because He is with us always. So this season, listen and read to the whole story about the birth of Jesus. Think about what it meant for Jesus to be the true King of the Jews, and then come to Him by whatever route you can and with the best gifts you can find. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.